Yeah, is Percy. Does his
you
dog look like
serious,
him or not?
Man. You cannot be serious!
Yeah,
showing me a picture of Percy
Jones. Which is Percy and which is the dog?
Very good line, Don. I know.
No.
Explain, Don, what you're
looking for. I am looking at Peter Percy Jones. His nickname is Percy. Now, Peter played for Carlton and played in the ruck.
He was a guest on the show.
And he was. Well, Rodney, I'm just getting to that.
Sorry.
He coached Carlton as well.
You never get
he's
to anything.
He's a publican. He's a publican. And he's an avid listener to the podcast, and he sends me little bits and pieces. And he was interested last week in the fact that you said the Groodles, which are a cross between a golden retriever and a poodle, cost $9,000. And Percy, his Groodle, cost him $3,000.
Yeah, that's right, because they've gone up since COVID. They've gone a bit silly. And the other thing, a lady said to me lady in the park said to me, she goes, I was interested to hear what I was saying. She said, why don't they put together a Great Dane and a poodle? And she said, because she's never had a great doodle.
You boys, honestly, it's just extraordinarily humorous, this stuff, Don.
Now, and Percy told me that you spoke.
I don't think, what?
He was invited to the marriage of Adrian Gallagher and his wife, Kim. And you got up and spoke at that marriage.
Did I?
I'm asking you, did you?
No, not that I recall, Don.
Well,
but I'm
I'll
not
take
saying
this up
that
with Percy. Maybe a few
must
beers.
Must have been a cashy and he forgot it.
Who?
It was a cash job and he forgot about it.
Well, I think the beer's starting to riddle Percy's brain a little bit because he told me a story, which I will now not repeat.
Well, there's a good chance that old mate here's forgotten it too.
Don,
he's done so many talking engagements, hasn't he? He wouldn't remember which was which. How's the winery tours going?
You start speaking about things and no one has any idea why. You never paint the picture as to why you're speaking about something. You just start speaking about it. You started suddenly talking about women's farts and I thought...
No, that was in the previous segment.
No, I know that, Don, but you should say... This is a Christmas gift. I'm getting another card out
of
it.
So you get up and you say, now I am going to tell a joke. You start waffling. Introduce yourself by saying, I'm going to tell a joke now. You just start waffling about what was his last one?
That's the point of the joke though, Don.
What?
Don, I was...
That you just bring it up in conversation.
Yes, the punchline catches you by surprise.
Thank you
very much. Well, it was something to do with the brakes on your truck. So Don, why is the Australian Tennis Open
going ahead?
Why is that going ahead? I don't want to be a killjoy. It's a fantastic event. How in God's name? In God's name can people coming on a plane with the virus, contracting it? There's a new strain, the African strain, which is now...
Really? There's an African strain?
African strain, which has consumed most of Europe, or certainly England. Is this right, Rodney?
Well, I know the English have got a strain.
It's a new virulent strain, and we have started. And these people have come from Doha, which the tennis caravans come from Doha, which is a hotbed for it. And we have bent over backwards. We've been put into isolation for 6 months, and suddenly they're all here, and God knows just who's got it and where they are with it.
Can I make a prediction?
We are
going to go into lockdown again in Victoria next winter.
Ooh.
And it'll probably be due to the fact that the people
that's
are coming
right
from overseas
exactly
playing
right
sport, either in the Grand Prix or the tennis. I see the cricketers now want to get inoculated before they go over to South Africa, is it, or to India to play?
Well, the rugby
ahead
league
of all all the other people who really deserve it,
and also the rugby league players, they want to receive preferential treatment as well. No, I think we're going to get it again. Viruses are prevalent in our winter. It was last winter. We locked down through winter. I think with all these different strains coming through, we'll get it again this year.
What are you suggesting though, Sam? We just send all the tennis players home now?
I would just say don't worry about it. But hang on.
Why did they come in the first place?
We voiced this weeks and weeks ago. It's nothing new. It's topical now.
Dan doesn't listen to us.
Why did they send the police around to his place if he doesn't listen to us?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, Rodney. Jesus. No, mate, you better explain what the police went around there for. Why did they go to your place, Johnny? Thick as bricks. You give me the shits, both of you.
This is the cynicism and the hypocrisy of what is going on in the community.
What? Sending the police to your place?
Explain locking why
not. Locking this state down for 6 months and then allowing plane loads of people to come in who have
but
the virus.
But we said this weeks ago. Repeating yourself.
You just said what is the hypocrisy and the cynicism, and I was explaining it. Because you just asked me why am I saying it, and I just was telling you, and then you suddenly said, "Oh, well, you've just told me that." Well, you weren't listening then if I told you, because you said, "Why are you explaining it?"
Can we do something instead of arguing? Can I pay a compliment? You wouldn't watch the races on Channel 78. But it highlighted something for me about sport broadcasters on mainstream sporting events. And I'll compliment one person going back years and years ago, and he really taught me something when I was watching the Olympics, and it was Peter Landy describing the rowing. And I learned more about rowing from Peter Landy in that particular event than you'd, you know, instead of blokes just calling it, learning the intricacies. Now, on Wednesday...
What did you learn about the intricacies of rowing, Don?
Just steady down. Just steady down. I'm going to pay a compliment to a man. I've traced his name. His name is Matt Stewart. And Matt Stewart broadcasts the races, or is one of the commentators for Channel 78. And it was down at Warrnambool, a race meeting at Warrnambool. And he gave the best insight into the personalities involved in racing and sport. And other sporting commentators could take a leaf out of his book. He really brought out the human side of the people he was interviewing. One was a fellow called Quinton Scott. You blokes wouldn't know anything about. A racehorse trainer, but gave... Well, he's just won two races. And then... Have a listen to this...
Go on.
And Lorna Lafferty, who is an up-and-coming jockey, she had a choice of going to America as a long-distance runner or becoming a jockey in year 12. She chose to be a jockey. She's now a very, very good jockey.
You know what's hilarious about this?
And I will go on and say that the people who broadcast the Big Bash, I turned it on last night for 5 minutes, they give you nothing except what you can see on the screen. I could... do that Big Bash as well as... Why don't they tell me where half these players come? I've never heard of the Big Bash players. Their commentary is shocking.
What's funny about this...
So Matt Stewart can take a tick.
You act as though you've never done this job before.
What
did
job?
Did you used to be like that when you used to do the Army Reserve Cup?
Exactly, and you know who I learned it from?
When you did the Army Reserve Cup, were you like that?
And do you know
who... Did you used to tell me about those reserve players that I didn't have no idea who they were?
Do you know who
told me? You were too busy eating scones from
that filler. Can I say something? You know who taught me to say to do that? Dixie Marshall. You remember Dixie Marshall? Her father, Arthur Marshall, was a politician in Western Australia and broadcast the football. And
so
that was a piece of advice that Arthur Marshall gave me.
So why aren't you still doing it?
Because I upset.
Go. Go. Say it.
I upset somebody and a couple of people.
Was this person well known to us?
Oh, well known.
Was he special?
Oh, well known. Did they get me? It was only a matter of, as soon as that live mic, I didn't realise Mike.
Don
the
got
mic
caught
was
out
live.
By the live mic.
Yes,
and he
the
upset.
Live mic.
And he upset.
Oh, we will
say
not
it.
Say.
Say it.
We will not say.
He upset Bruce. So
no.
is Bruce, is, don't tell me Bruce is going to the Olympics, is he? I think it's about Bruce's use-by date is probably just about reached us, hasn't it?
But also, can I say, you talked about the human element. We'll talk to this bull rider in the next hour.
We're talking to a bull rider, yeah, John.
And you'll ask him all about the bull and won't ask him anything about himself.
What are you on about?
We're speaking to a bull. I've become absolutely enamoured with bull riding.
It's the first. That's great. Because all you get enthusiastic about is car racing, and that's not there. Golf. Golf is number one.
No, Trump.
You speaking to me?
Oh, no. I'm talking about sport.
Are you speaking to me?
He treats it like a sport.
He's very narrow.
Bashing people is his sport.
Are you speaking to me, Don?
Oh, no. I'm speaking to that yacht behind you.
So you're telling me what I'm enamoured with, are you?
Yes.
Car racing and what was the other? Golf.
Golf. They're the only two things.
With nothing else.
Well, no, it's sporting, as far as sport.
I'm enamoured about the America's Cup, the race that's going to be held off in New Zealand. We asked John Bertram to come on here. He said he'd come on, then he said he wouldn't. I think he knows nothing about the new modern art of foil sailing.
He might be upset with you. I don't think he was.
I think somebody else
might. Beg your pardon?
I don't think he has any problem with Sam.
Oh, doesn't he? Because I had something to eat with he and his wife at Portsea, baked in...
When?
Oh, last summer or early summer or something, whenever it was.
We were trying to get Tony Jewell, Bernie Quinlan, into the new foils that have taken over from the traditional sailing yachts in America's Cup. And I've got a feeling John has no idea about it and didn't want to embarrass himself.
Bullshit, he knows everything. Sam bought a new boat.
What?
Sam's bought a new little runabout.
What for?
I don't know. But my next door neighbour saw it.
Saw what? The runabout?
Sam's boat.
Is it a tinny, an aluminium thing or what?
I don't know. It's a small fishing boat.
Yeah.
Why would you buy a little tinny? They're dangerous.
He reckons, my next door neighbour reckons, that you do not change the name of a boat. That's the golden rule. And bananas.
You change the name of a boat only when it's out of the water. You never change it while it's floating. If it's out on dry dock, you can change it.
Is that the rule?
Because if I bought a boat from Miss Louise, because the original owner's wife was called Louise, I don't want to have a boat called Miss Louise. I would like to call it something else under my auspices. And you never change a boat's name while it's floating. If it's out of the water, it's legitimately okay to change it.
Tell
that man that's giving you that gratuitous advice, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Is this superstition?
Yep. This is...
Sorry?
Yes.
It's not a golden rule. It's not a hard rule.
No, it's like breaking a bottle of champagne over the front of it.
Are you going to do that?
All you'll do is smash the boat. That's tradition, Don. It's a bit like... that's tradition.
So you've changed the name of the boat?
I'm changing it.
To what? Don's Party.
Don's Party. Jeez, that'll be a flop. It'll sink.
It's like this.
What is the boat's new name?
It's like this very.
Come
good
on, what is the boat's new name?
Well, he's not going to tell you, is he? Because everyone will go out and throw eggs at it.
I didn't realise that. Sorry,
it's a bit like this very, very good quote that I wish I'd thought of this, but I'm not smart.
This is a joke.
No, it's not.
Okay.
If you tear down history, that is people who rip down monuments.
Is this sport?
Well, it's about boat. If you change it, this is history. Of the name of the boat is its history. If you tear down history, you leave a void into which something false enters. It's good, isn't it? So people rip down monuments because they think, we don't like the history of that. So then you just leave a space where you put something false into, which is not history at all. Don't you like that?
Exactly, and that's what's happened in Collins Street, the lower end of Collins Street. All those buildings that went up, the skyscrapers in the 60s, late 50s, pulled down all the beautiful buildings. And I remember Barry Humphreys, this has got nothing to do with sport, protesting about these buildings with character going, and all we've got are these square bloody edifices now.
So Barry Humphreys, they don't rip him any, they just give him a nice free pass, dressing up as Sir Les Patterson, who is fantastic, Dame Edna Everidge, dressing up as a woman.
They give him a free pass?
They give him a free pass, absolutely they do. And
they took his name off the Melbourne Comedy Festival
and
Award.
And rightly so, they give him, he's a fantastic talent and humorous and was not hating or decrying anyone, was just having fun. And no, the fun police came in and said he was piss funny And he's still piss funny today, if you see some of the clips of him. You will think this is not sport. Well, this is sport. I think Jonathan Payton. Jonathan Payton's just having an interesting couple of weeks.
How far are we going with this? Because there's a rumour circulating.
Let's not go too far.
Well, you won't know how far, Don, because I just mentioned his name and you said how far are we going?
I'm just warning you.
You're warning me, are you?
Yes, just putting you on notice. Don't go too far.
Well, how about I've mentioned his name, right? And I don't think other people haven't heard his name or what's going on with maybe his life, do they? I think it's in the public arena.
I'm starting to get worried.
Holy mackerel. Jonathan Payton, who is a Hawthorn player, as I understand it, is having an interesting couple of weeks. There is a chat now that he has had a discussion with
He's had a discussion.
Had a discussion with a man called Tom Scully. Is that not right?
Yeah, there's that. That's the rumor.
Well, we don't know whether there was a discussion.
No, I know
we don't.
So, okay, that's right.
You don't know there's a discussion. What do you think he's had? How do you think he's come into contact with
him? Well,
no, that's all right. That's all right. There's a rumor that he's had a disagreement with him.
Well,
that's fine.
Yeah, I like the rumor bit.
Yeah, that's all it is. That's what we're waiting on to see what's going on with that. Yeah.
Okay, that's just full stop. Let's move on.
They've had a disagreement, yes.
Full stop, let's move on.
You're possibly the most simple person I've ever met. You are extraordinary. What the fuck are you talking about? I've mentioned Jonathan Payton, who has had a discussion with Tom Scully, and you've gone on with this sanctimonious fucking crap about, just a minute, I think we'll put a full stop to... You don't even know what I'm talking about.
You were going.
You don't know where I was going. I'm not that stupid.
I would not trust you as with stuff like this.
You wouldn't trust
me.
You cost me... You specifically cost me $100,000 because I sat here and listened to you and Mike Sheehan chat about the most innocent conversation you could possibly have, and we got exploited to within an inch of our lives by opportunists, and you reckon I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Hang on. Just on that. Geez, you're getting a bashing over that.
Yes.
Why do they single you out?
Well, because, Don,
this is a discussion.
Yes.
And why do you get singled out? I think that is, I'm not taking up your case or anything, but boy, the people are prejudiced, aren't they? Maybe it's the fact that you've said or done things in the past. I don't know. You're a bit like Elvis Presley. You either like you or you don't.
Who doesn't like Elvis? I don't. Okay, you may not like him. You don't not like him. You don't dislike him, do you?
Well, you either like him or you don't.
He's the king.
He's the king, Don.
That's a publicity machine saying that.
The king. Elvis?
Yeah, tell me, Don, this speaking of sport, which is not, tell me who is bigger in the entertainment industry in the history of the world than Elvis Presley.
I would have said if he didn't pass away... And he wrote a multitude and had hits after hit. Buddy Holly and the Crickets would have been bigger than Elvis.
Fuck me.
You've got to be kidding me.
I am not kidding you. Buddy Holly was bigger than Big Walsh. Unfortunately,
Elvis
he died in a plane.
Bigger than Elvis?
Yeah, at the time.
Oh, mate, I wasn't even there and I know that's bullshit. Come on, Don.
You want something from the past. I've given
Elvis
you something.
Elvis Presley was the biggest name and entertainer, Sinatra included, Michael Jackson, anyone you would...
Beatles.
He is number one, Don. Please, man. So why do they go at me? Because I have an opinion about people who play sport. We have an opinion about people who are pieces of shit in this world.
Well,
What's wrong with having the language.
The language.
So this is the dishonesty. This is how we come to saying the Age and the people who write for it are dishonest, because they keep going at me having a disgraceful conversation about the Winmar affair all those years ago out at Victoria Park, where I sat and listened to you and Mike Sheehan, and very happy to, sat and listened to you have a very sincere and genuine discussion about the whys and wherefores of that incident, and I just sat here, and suddenly my comments were disgraceful, despicable. No, I'm a racist. Okay. This is where we started this whole thing. I said the cynicism and the hypocrisy in this world we're living in at the minute is beyond reproach.
Did you? Okay. Can we?
So I was on to Jonathan Patton and Tom Scully.
Yeah, go on.
Yes, I was on to them, and there was an interesting story developing, I think, about those two people. I know that we should put a full stop to it, and I shouldn't go on any further. We are not insinuating anything. We're just reporting what is out there in the ether at the minute, and I would watch this space, and your club was going to have to deal with it shortly, as if their bona fides are, and their bona fides are intact, they're going to have to deal with it. The reason I brought that up is that you will think that this is not sport, but it is short of is. How stiff is a man called Peter Fagan, or Fagan, who was lumbered for having two bags of coke after a Christmas party, a Channel 7 reporter. I think he did sport, didn't he?
Crime.
He did crime. Apparently bought two bags of coke from a street dealer, and the coppers lumbered him. Had to resign from Channel 7. This is after we spoke last week about people still in their employ after being investigated for war crimes. Could you believe that a man had to resign his job? He was found buying two bags of cocaine. Righto. Half the competition of the AFL are on cocaine. Yeah. Half the people who employ their employers at the AFL, in sport, in commerce, in the new media, half the people in this world are on drugs, and yet they lumber this poor bastard. He loses his whole job. How many people do we pay tribute to and idolise who are entertainers who just are out there pissed half their life on drug fucked most of their life, and we think, aren't they fantastic? And here's this poor bastard buys two bags of coke from someone because probably he was the gopher for some people to go and enjoy some Christmas frivolity, and suddenly the whole world is up in arms about him, and yet everyone that you know, Donald, in any field that you like to mention is just rampantly taking it.
Mm. It's a bit sad that, I mean, I don't know this bloke at all. But
no, I don't know him at all either.
But I read, though, that he used to work in the mines, and he did a cadetship at 32. So he's only been a journalist. He did a cadetship 6 years ago at Channel 7. And he's obviously, well, by the sound of things, I don't know him, all right? But he's obviously doing well.
I don't know him either.
I feel for him too. I mean, he's obviously been embarrassed by this. He's had to go to court, had to tell his parents.
Lost his job.
Had to do all that. And then he's had to lose his job as well. It's like,
so how many people playing football, playing tennis, playing cricket, playing in the law industry, in the media industry? How many people just live on that stuff?
But it depends on how valuable you are to that particular organisation as to whether they come out.
Scapegoat.
Well, the classic is Jimmy Savile. They knew what was going on with Jimmy Savile for years in England with regard to paedophilia.
Well, just mention who Jimmy Savile is in case people don't know what you're talking about.
Hang on, didn't the Channel 7 news boss get done for drink driving for the third time or something? So the bloke he would resign to would have had his own issues.
What about the bloke who it was?
I hope I got that right.
The bloke at Channel 7 who was. Warner?
What about him?
He
gave me my first job in TV. Yeah,
didn't he concede that he was taking drugs before?
No. I think someone made those accusations. I don't think he admitted to that.
Let's get back on
dancing around this.
What?
I'm dancing around this because I like the bloke.
Well, okay. I don't know the bloke. I'm just saying.
I don't think he's admitted. I think someone made some claims about him when they were trying to an unfair. I think there was a disgruntled employee might have made those claims.
No. That's just, you're speaking
Did you
shit.
See about, did you...
Fuck, you know that.
It's days bullshit. Old now.
What?
It's days old now, but they came out with these scans on Shane Tuck. CTE?
Yes.
Did you see that? The worst case, yes. The doctor or the professor or the man in charge said it's the worst case. I wonder whether that could be attributed to boxing.
Well, you probably know? Both. It doesn't help, does it?
Well, I'm just saying, they talked about, you know, there's been a couple of cases with regard to AFL football. He said it's the worst he's seen. I wonder if boxing, you know, it was brought on by the fact he was doing a lot of boxing at the end.
Yeah. Well, So I'm listening to. Are they sheeting it home to the got knocked and concussion?
Well,
playing football?
The footage was basically about football. When they were doing the news story, there was a little bit on boxing.
Yeah, it confuses it a bit when
it
did
does.
Sports.
It's you know, it's a
particularly boxing of all things.
Yeah,
because he got knocked. I think he got knocked out a couple of times too in the ring, didn't he?
Well, he definitely did at the swimmer. What that. What the undercard for a main event in Melbourne. It's a little bit confusing just to say it's football. I think there are other things that could come into account there, which is very sad. Very, very sad. And also talking about football, I read an article going back, 2015, Robert Walls in The Age wrote, it's interesting to see how history pans out. And Walls in this particular article was talking about coaches. Brendan Hartney, who was at Footscray at the time.
McCartney.
Damien Hardwick and Nathan Buckley, and he had them both under the pump. This is 2015. It's interesting how history plays out, that Hardwick is now at the top of the tree and Nathan Buckley has got Collingwood into a grand final. But he did say back then in this particular article, no to Worsfold being coach of Essendon. No to Worsfold being coach of Essendon.
So did he get that right?
Well, I think he must do. I think he did because Worsfold had no success whatsoever at Essendon.
Would anybody have had a success in those circumstances?
Well, I don't know. That is very subjective, very, very subjective. But I'm just there for the discussion. Walls in 2015 in The Age. So it's
that's a bit harsh, though. I mean, you
well,
go back
why
and look
is it harsh?
Well,
it's interesting to talk about. And
thing
say,
on a block and made a few views. So there's nothing. He's put his reputation on the block, Walsey, and made some predictions, right?
Yeah, and that's only three coaches. He went through others.
Got all the others right?
I didn't. I just pulled those three out. He said about Brendan McCartney.
What did he say about Bevo back then?
He wasn't coaching at that stage.
Yes, he was at 15.
No, he just started.
Yeah, okay, but what did he say he was
going
to go wrong?
He didn't pass mention. He was more about how the previous coach was, you know, didn't get all the players on side at Footscray. So that's all he said there, but I just thought it was interesting that Damien Hardwick was at the crossroads, and since then he's won, three premierships. Nathan Buckley's got his team into one, and he was right about Worsfold not going to be a success before he got to Essendon. So.
Sam's become obsessed with something. I'm not sure what he's doing.
I'm listening to you. With
you're
extremely
not.
Interesting,
you're just
Don.
Rude.
No, I'm not rude at all.
And this pre-season competition.
We're going to speak to the bull rider now, so be quiet.
Hang on, go. Just finish what you're going to say, the pre-season competition.
Well, I just wonder what's going to happen about the AFL competition or VFL competition. And is there going to be a pre-season competition this year
game.
With regard to the bubbles and all the rest.
One
and
official game
And why do you
each.
Need to play pre-season games against other teams? Years ago, living in the past, but years ago, it never happened. There were six
I like the idea of game. I like the idea of seeing them all for the first time at round one. Like, go and play intra-club and play
okay,
fun.
Okay, well,
you know?
I'm just saying I experienced, as John did, playing six intra-club games, and it prepared you just as well as what it did when we started playing pre-season.
Yeah, I reckon that would create a real buzz for round one. I agree with that.
So I think these teams, if they wanted, get organised. You don't have to travel interstate to have your pre-season inter-club games. You can have intra-club games.
Okay.
We don't?
Here we go.
Well, I'll just read that out. To your point.
To my point?
To your point about saying, it says this...
Oh, don't worry about that.
You have not.
Oh. Who had denied claims?
You've got to be right about everything.
I know, it just gives you the irrits.
And he had to, so he's been obsessed for the last 10 minutes. He's Googling.
You
to
can
prove
imagine
his point.
Playing the quiz with him, can't you? Where there's a quiz. He cannot be wrong.
I didn't even say I was right. I said, I think.
Discovered it. I knew it 50 years ago.
What I said is correct. Well, it mightn't be correct, but I'm just saying that there was chat about it, right? Would you like me to read out what the chat is?
No, don't worry about it. No, you win.
Hit the button, please.
I win, do I?
You win.
Okay.
I'm open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you ain't